Hebrews chapter number 11. Find your place there in the pages of God's Word. I look forward to VBS cranking up tomorrow night. Just want to say in advance, thank you to everybody that will be helping us in the coming week, whatever night, whether you can be here one night, four nights. Bus workers be out late. Pray for safety on our buses as they'll be putting in a lot of time this week traveling back and forth. Pray that God would refresh us and we'd see a harvest of souls over the next several days, see young people come to Christ. And so let's pray about that and trust the Lord for a great day and a great week in the Lord. No care outreach on Wednesday night as we'll have Vacation Bible School, all right? Hebrews chapter number 11. How many of you grew up singing out of the old red church hymnal? How many of you did that? Yeah, quite a few. And I remember that song. That was a staple, buddy, let me tell you. And enjoyed that. And what a blessing that was. Hebrews chapter 11. What we're trying to do is flavor Brother Delp's life. You know, we're trying to get all the Yankee we can get out of him, you know, get all the Southern in him we can. You know, feed him fried chicken, all that kind of stuff, and, you know, keep him going. But anyway, it was good stuff. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 30 tonight. Notice, if you would, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 30, by faith. No less than 23 times God says that by faith, in faith, or through faith, somebody did something. Faith leads to action. When we believe God, it will move us to do something in our lives for Him. Faith is never static. It's either growing, increasing, or it's diminishing in our lives. And God wants to increase our faith. He wants us to learn to live by faith. And so He's challenging us with the people of faith that He's listed here in Hebrews chapter 11. And when you look at Hebrews 11:30, it has the within it the capsule, sort of in a nutshell, the faith of Joshua and a generation of Israelites that entered the land of Canaan. And I entitled this particular verse, Joshua, the Conqueror of Canaan. Now, Joshua is the Old Testament equivalent of the New Testament name, Jesus. And it means Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah saves. Aren't you glad that God saves people, aren't you? And for Israel, at this point, it was a deliverance going into the land of Canaan. And for us, of course, it's a spiritual deliverance from a place called hell and gives us an entrance into a place called heaven. But yet, between here and there, we live our lives just like Joshua and Israel did by this matter of faith. Now, when you look at this name, the walls of Jericho, we learn that Israel had no sooner entered the land of Canaan and they ran right smack into that Canaanite stronghold by the name of Jericho. It was looming large between them and the conquest and the settling of the land, the blessing of God. You see, for an Israelite to be in the land, that was the place of blessing. They were in the promised land. Now, it reminds you that for us, that the place of blessing is not a location geographically. It's not a place, but a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we draw near to Him by faith, and we serve Him and obey Him by this matter of faith. But every one of us has spiritual Jerichos in our life. We have something looming large in our life that stands between us, that causes us at times to diminish our faith, to lose sight of our God, to lose our way spiritually. Listen, if we're not careful, like Israel of old, you and I can be wandering in a desert of unbelief. We can lose the blessing of God and the joy of God in our lives, and the Jerichos of life seek to hinder us and even halt us in our walk with God. Let me remind you, 2 Corinthians 10:4. You could call a Jericho here in Hebrews, as he talks about that physical Jericho. You could equate that to a spiritual Jericho, or what we would call a stronghold. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All right, we don't fight with swords and spears and bows and those things. Not fleshly, but mighty through God. They're spiritual. money through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, the strongholds, the Jerichos, don't have to remain in your life and they don't have to remain in my life. Listen, I'm glad the Jerichos of life, their walls can come tumbling down. Amen? And we can have victory in our lives as believers. Now listen, a stronghold is an enemy entrenchment. Satan is forever trying to set up strongholds in our lives. A base of operations. A place from which he can work his destructive devices in our lives. It could be the Jericho of fear. It could be the Jericho of unbelief, the Jericho of disobedience, or the Jericho of an unsurrendered life. It could be a Jericho of guilt. It could be the Jericho of unconfessed sin. We're allowing things to go on in our lives that ought not be there. It could be the Jericho of a failing marriage or family relationship. It could be problems or difficulties that we allow to loom large in our lives that cause us to lose sight of the greatness and the goodness of our God. And friend, listen, I tell you what, God wants to diminish the Jerichos of life. He wants us to trust Him and step out by faith and see those strongholds come down in our lives. And that's exactly what happened in the life of Joshua and the people of Israel. Those many years ago. And of course, he's recorded right here in Hebrews Hall of Faith. Now, we learned last week that we have a captain over our faith. Joshua's going to meet him. Let's turn back to Joshua chapter 5 now, and let's notice what God has to say to us. Joshua chapter number 5. It's there that we have the record of the life of Joshua. What a man of God that he was. What an influencer that he was. So find Joshua chapter number 5. And you're going to see that you come to verse number, I believe it is 13. Let me find my place there along with you. And the Bible said it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him. Has his sword drawn in his hand, the Bible said. And Joshua goes to him and he said, he's sort of on a reconnaissance mission. He's strategizing how he's going to take Jericho, and he's developing a battle plan. In the process of that, he meets the Lord. Notice, he asked him a question. He said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Whose side's you on? And verse 14, he said, nay. He said, I'm not for you and I'm not for them. As a matter of fact, he said, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. Joshua, it's not a matter of me being on your side. It's a matter of you being on my side. And folks, when it comes to winning the spiritual battles of life, it's not about God being on my side. Too many people are jockeying in life to get God on their side. They think, boy, if I could just do this or do that or do the other, I'm going to coax God to get on my side about this matter and do what I... No, friend, hey, it's not about God being on my side. It's about me being on God's side. And listen, we need to land on His side. Amen? And listen, we're doing one of two things. We're either fighting against God or we're fighting with God. And that's just the bottom line. And listen, I don't need to be fighting against God. I need to be fighting with God. Amen? And so notice we find here that he comes to Joshua and Joshua has a time of worship. Look at verse 14. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. You know what he did? He bowed. Do you see that? You know what? You can't war if you don't worship. You'll never win your battles against the world, flesh, and the devil if you don't have a walk with God. You know, just what we do today isn't going to suffice us for tomorrow. Now, it gets us down the road. But you know what? I need a fresh time with God tomorrow. I need a fresh time with God the next day. I need a fresh time with God the day after that. Hey, we need to come together as the people of God. But yet, there just as we need corporate worship, we need the private place, the private worship, the closet, don't we? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And of course, we know the captain of the Lord's host said, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, two thoughts I want you to get right here, and we're going to move on real quickly, because we're just going to sort of recap what we said last week. Number one, let God inspire you. All right. At this moment, listen, Jericho could seem impregnable to Joshua. I mean, it's a walled city. He's looking, how am I going to lead the armies? How are we going to take this city? How are we going to get past it? We can't leave this stronghold in our rear when we go into the city. It'll become a detriment to us and could bring about defeat. How am I going to do that? And you know what? Sometimes you and I, when we face the Jerichos of life, we can get discouraged, can't we? Sometimes they seem bigger than what we are. You ever had your problems, your situations of life seem bigger than you? I do. There's times they seem insurmountable. And if we're not careful, you know what it'll do? It'll rob us of our faith. It'll diminish our faith. It'll begin to affect us. You know, I believe in this moment, you know what God's doing? He's inspiring Joshua. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again today. Hey, glance at your problems, but gaze at your God. When you let God loom large in your life, the Jerichos of life will become small. And friend, listen, you'll recognize that in Him, you're the victor, amen? And we're not the victim. Then not only did God inspire him, but number two, let me give you this under that thought about the captain over our faith. Let God instruct you. Let God instruct you. How important it is that we follow God's plan rather than ours. No doubt Joshua tried to form some kind of battle plan, and God said, Joshua, throw your plan away. It ain't any good. I want you to do this. And you know what? You ever notice there's times that God asks you to do stuff that doesn't make sense? You ever notice that? I mean, logically, it just doesn't make sense as far as the world's concerned. It don't make any sense to them. They think you're loco, you're a lunatic, you're crazy. What do you mean? And that's exactly what I believe the people of Jericho thought about Joshua there on the front end. Now, they didn't think about that way on the back end, did they? And so God says to him, He said, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the army and I want you to divide it up. I want you to put part of them in front and I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant and some priests there and I want them to have some trumpets and then behind them, I want you to bring the rest of the army. And for the next 6 days, I want you to get up early in the morning. I want you to go around the city and then I want you to go back to camp. I want you to do it for 6 days. Now, when you come to the seventh day, all right, I want you to go around the city 7 times. All right? And on the seventh time, I want you to blow the trumpet and I want you to shout. And when you shout, the walls are going to come down and you're going to take the city. God instructed him. And I want you to notice that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I believe that once Joshua heard God's plan, he had seen enough of the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the ability of God, that when God gave him the plans, he didn't have any doubt about it. It fostered faith in his heart. And men and ladies, when you and I get a hold of it, better yet, we let this book get a hold of us, it'll foster faith in our lives in a God who can. You know what? So often we think we can't, but remind us, friend, you're right. We can't, but God can. Philippians 4:13 ought to be in every Christian's heart and mind. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And Joshua had God's word on the matter, and he was following God's plan. And notice again in chapter 6, verse 2, now the Lord had said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. And then and he said, I'm going to give it to you. Look at verse 16. It came to pass the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets. We're chapter 6, verse 16. Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. You know what? The walls hadn't fallen down yet. They hadn't fell yet. And you know what? They're fighting from victory, not for victory. And Christian, I want you to recognize where you're fighting from. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. You already have it. God's already given it to you. Now let's live in it. Amen? Now folks, listen, victory's not a feeling. I don't always wake up in the mornings and feel victorious, okay? How many of you wake up? Now, there's probably a few, but you know, how many of us actually wake up till the first cup of coffee and feel like we're ready to conquer Jericho? Not very many of us. Isn't that true? Get a little Java in us and maybe we're ready to do it. But you know what? So often, we don't always feel like we're the victor. Sometimes we feel like we're the victim. Let me remind you, Joshua and them, God didn't say, I want you to feel victorious. He said, you are victorious. And Christian, I don't have to feel victorious to be victorious. I am victorious in Jesus Christ. I do have the victory. I am fighting from it, not for it. And God's given it to us, and it's already ours, and we need to believe that. And listen, we want the walls of our Jericho to come down, and then we need to start following. Let God inspire your faith, and let God instruct your life. Then, number two, be compliant with your faith. Well, what does that mean, preacher? That means do what God says. That's real simple, isn't it? You know what? I could imagine Joshua coming back saying, hey, fellas, I just met the captain, and here's what he said we're going to do. Now, you know what? I no doubt there was somebody in the army of Israel said, boy, I tell you what, that ain't going to work. Well, we ain't never done that before. 10 last words of a dying church. We've never done it that way before. If that's 10 words. Anyway, we can count it up, but it works, don't it? You know, God does a whole lot of things He ain't never done before, like parting the Jordan River, parting the Red Sea, you know, stilling storms. God does all kinds of stuff He's never done before. And you know what? We need to let God do what He wants to do. Amen? They said, well, that's silly. Well, that ain't going to work. And you know what? They could have said that and believed that till the cows come home, so to speak. And you know what? Jericho would have still been standing there. And I'm going to tell you something. They could do it their way, and Jericho would never have come down. And you know what God's telling us? We try to do it our way, and the Jerichos of our life will never come down. They never will. We'll never have the victory. You know why? Because we're trying to do it our way rather than God's way. And the Bible's not just to be believed, folks. It's to be obeyed. It's not the hearer, James says, but the doer that's blessed in his deed. God will bless, listen to this, God will bless a life that's lived in obedience to His Word. Now, you know what you never said to your children? You never said, now, son, I want you to take that garbage out if you feel like it. Well, I can tell you what, at 13 years old, I'd have never felt like taking out the garbage. Well, kids, y'all can clean your room when you feel like it. Well, how many rooms are going to get cleaned up? No, you expect them to carry the garbage out, clean the room, do what you say, whether they feel like it or not. You know what? So often, our Christian lives are ruled by feelings rather than by faith. And our obedience is determined by how we feel. And folks, God didn't say, do this if you feel like it. God said, I want you to do this. I want you to obey me. And folks, when we hear from God, we need to do what God says. And God blesses the life that lives in obedience to His Word. And you know what? There's a lot of folks that they're great sermon listeners, but they're poor sermon doers. And God didn't say just learn the Word. He said, I want you to live the Word. I want you to put it in shoe leather. Colossians 4:16, the Bible said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm to saturate myself with the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand it all. I like what Mark Twain said. He said, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that gives me trouble. It's the parts I do understand. And you know what, folks? Listen, I don't understand everything in the Bible. You don't understand everything in the Bible. But let's do what we let's obey what we do understand. Why don't we start right there? Instead of spending our time worrying about what we don't understand, let's enjoy what we do understand. And you know what? Hey, here's a little thought I want to give you, and something I believe will help you. God's not going to give us more light until we obey the light we already have. So why don't we just do what God says? You know what? I've been amazed at how in my own Christian life, and folks, I've been saved for over 35 years and studying the Bible. And you know what the reality of it is? I'm still learning things about the Word of God. And there are things. I told somebody the other day, we were talking about the study of the book of Hebrews. And by the time we're done, we're probably going to have over 50 messages in the book of Hebrews. And I told somebody, I said, you know, I've been pastoring and preaching for 29 years, and I'm just now preaching verse by verse by verse through the book of Hebrews. And you know why that is? Because I don't think I was mature enough spiritually to preach through the book of Hebrews until now. Couldn't grasp it all. Oh, I preached out of it, but preaching out of a book is far different than preaching a book. And there are certain things that have to mature in your lives and mature in our lives. And you know what? Some things in the Bible, God gives us understanding or greater understanding or greater depth as we mature in Him and obey Him. And that's what we want to do. We want to saturate ourselves. We want to soak in the Word. And as we do that, you know what? We're going to have greater understanding. We're going to have greater obedience. And you know what? We're going to draw closer to our God, aren't we? Notice, if you would, chapter 6, verse 10. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. Now here's what happened. That for 6 days, Israel's marched around that city, but God said, I want you to say a word. I don't want to peep. I want it to be total silence. You say, preacher, why God do that? He is testing their obedience. You see, the first day the army of Jericho saw Israel coming, boy, they got ready on the walls. They were waiting for the first onslaught, the attack, and they were going to repel it and all of that. And they watched them march around the city and go back to camp. What in the world was that all about? I can hear them talking on the wall. What in the world was that all about? I thought they was going to, you know, I tell you what, maybe they're afraid. I don't know. Well, you know what? After about day three, they're starting to mock them. They're probably jeering at them and spitting at them from the walls and saying, "Hey, you bunch of cowards, we're over here. What are you doing washing them out on the wall, the city, when you ought to be trying to take the city?" And no doubt they jeered and scorned and mocked and made fun of them. For 5 days they heard that. It had been real easy for Israel to say, "Hey, you just wait till day seven. You're going to find out then." God said, "I don't want you to answer them back. I don't want you to respond. I don't want you to do anything but obey me by marching around that city." Let me just tell you something. It is worthless, useless to argue with the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is. God didn't tell me to talk back to the devil. He didn't tell me to yell at the devil. He didn't tell me to throw things at him. No, He said, "I want you to resist Him." Isn't that what He said? Folks, I believe that sometimes, don't let the jeers of Jericho keep you from God's best. Don't let that diminish what God wants to do in your life. Don't let it dampen your faith. You see, it could really, after a time, begin to wear on them and dampen their faith. But you know, sometimes, maybe they don't say anything. Have you ever felt like your problems jeer at you? You ever feel like, maybe I'm just crazy? You know, I don't know. But I know they don't talk. But it's just, it seems like, you know, maybe life's mocking you. You ever feel like that? And they're bigger than you are. And you feel, if you're not careful, we'll let that dampen our faith and affect us spiritually. And God wanted to teach them some patience in their lives. You know what? God could easily have brought the walls down on day one. But God wanted Israel to learn to wait on Him. And you know what? I believe sometimes the reason maybe our prayers aren't answered, or maybe the walls of Jericho, our own walls or of Jericho, our own the walls of our own Jerichos don't come down, is because God's teaching us patience. He's building endurance. He perseverance in our lives. Remember, we was in chapter 10 of Hebrews, and God said that after you have done the will of God, okay, that you might. He said you have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise, the blessing. God said to those Hebrew Christians, you need some patience. You need some endurance. You need some perseverance. You know why I believe God has resistance that comes into our lives from the world? Because it's through that resistance that God builds endurance in our lives. He gives us stick-to-itiveness in our lives. It's so easy to give up and quit. But when you and I go against the grain, it strengthens us spiritually. Now, I want to give you a verse, okay? Look over, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 30. I want you to sort of jot this one down in your notes. Isaiah chapter 30. This was the verse I talked about last week. Told you I was going to share it with you. Write it down the margin of your Bible. God doesn't always work on my timetable. God doesn't always answer my prayers on my timetable. God doesn't always do things at the moment I want it done. All right? God works according to His own timetable. Look at verse 18, Isaiah 30. "And therefore will the Lord wait." Why will you wait, Lord? "That He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you." Why? "For the Lord is a God of judgment." Now, when we see that word judgment, immediately, you know what you and I think? We think the judgment of God falling on things. That's not what that word means. It means discernment. It means understanding. That's what that word means. For the Lord is a God of discernment, of understanding. Blessed, happy are all they that wait for Him. That's a pretty powerful verse, isn't it? About this matter of waiting. Now, I want you to get this. God is a God of judgment. All right? You know why? Because He has discernment. He knows what we don't know. He knows what we don't know. He sees things in ways we don't see them. He always makes right decisions. God can't make a wrong decision. Isn't that right? Okay? And then He doesn't make mistakes. Are you with me? He doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. Everything God does is wise, right, and perfect. There's no other way for our God to work. Okay? Now, He's gonna test their obedience. He's going to grow their patience, and He's going to build their trust during this 7-day period here. Now, faith is like a muscle, Christian. All right? The more you use it, the stronger it gets. You know as well as I do that when sickness comes, or maybe you're in the hospital or things like that. When I was back spending quite a bit of time in the hospital, the doctor told me, he said, for every day you're in the hospital, it takes 30 days to regain what you lost. It takes 30 days to get that back. And because our body loses strength and muscle tone and stamina over a long hospital stay. And you have to, when you begin to walk, that's why I was talking to Brother Dan, and he said, boy, the doctor ended surgery at 5 a.m. He said, I want you walking by 10 a.m. 5 hours, I want you up and walking. He said, man, I wanted to sleep, not walk. And he said, you know what? I did what he said. I got, you know why? Because the doctor's wanting to build his strength. He's not wanting to lose his stamina. And that's exactly the things in our own lives. And God wants to strengthen us. And when God stretches our faith, He does that in order to build our faith. And listen, every time the Israelites circled Jericho, those walls got higher, they got wider, they got thicker, and the more they realized, God, if you don't intervene, God, if you don't step in, these walls are not good. God, if you don't do something, these walls are never going to come down. Now, you know what? Just several days earlier, God had parted the Jordan River. They walked across on dry ground. Isn't that right? And if we're not careful, folks, we'll start to think that it's something we did, and God's reminding them, it's not what you do, it's what I do. It's not us, it's Him. And you know what? God didn't want them to have any confidence in themselves. He wanted all their confidence to be in Him. Folks, listen. No confidence in the flesh. And listen, when you and I are circling our Jerichos, they get bigger and larger and more impregnable. And we're saying, God, if you don't do something, God, if you don't work, God, if you don't intervene, nothing's going to happen. God, you have to. And boy, as we begin to trust God and beg God and get hold of God, God's strength in us, He's growing us, He's building us for when the walls come down in our lives. God wants to build your faith. And then, look at verse number 20. We're on the back in Joshua 6. Now, they've marched around the city 6 times and they've done it in complete silence. And we're now to day 7. God had told them, He said, it had come to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about this, verse 15, about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass, 7th time, verse 16, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Verse 20, so the people shouted, and when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Hebrews 11:30 tells us that by faith, after they had compassed the walls, the walls fell flat after they had compassed the city 7 times. And you know what? It tells us that shout was, it was a shout of faith. It was a shout of trust. It was an implying that it came from the depth of their soul. I mean, with everything in them. They shouted like God told them to shout. They believed God, and they were waiting for God to do what He said He'd do in their lives. And notice, they didn't shout after the walls came down. They shouted before the walls came down. Hey, they were believing God. And I believe they shouted with all the shout that was in them. I believe they was letting it go. It was the inner confidence that God would intervene and those walls would come down. And you know what? Sometimes, folks, listen, those walls in your life may seem big. And those maybe you just need to shout before they come down. Amen? And say, God, I believe You and I trust You and I'm dependent on You. And God, if You don't do it, it ain't going to happen. God, I want to give You the glory for it when it does happen. Just trust God. He's faithful, isn't He? We've learned that faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present, the invisible as seen. Remember, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hey, it hadn't happened yet, but it was as good as done in the heart of God and the heart of His people. And folks, let me just tell you, God's faithful and He'll not fail us. Amen? And so there was a captain over their faith. There was a compliance to their faith. And then there's a conquest in their faith. Look at verse number 20 again. The Bible said at the bottom part of that verse, every man straight before him, and they took the city. That was no small miracle. Archaeologists have uncovered the ancient city of Jericho, and they tell us it was double walled. It was 15 foot high. You remember Rahab's house was on top of the city walls. They were thick. They were 15 foot high, 12 foot thick. And the Bible said they fell down flat. And you know what? They fell outward, not inward. And you know what? The people went straight up for me. It was like a ramp right up into the city. Boy, what a blessing. And they went right into it. And the Bible said they did it by faith. They had a conquering faith. I jotted down 1 John 5:4, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Folks, we live in dark times. We live in difficult times spiritually. We live in America in a spiritual climate that we as God's people have never lived in before. Spirituality is at an all-time low. There was a time that being a Christian was a popular thing. Now it's unpopular. Did you know that? There is an all-time low in the commitment of God's people. If you read the blogs on church attendance across America, they tell you, they say, Pastor, just get ready. Just get ready because faithfulness now is 2 times a month. I don't believe that's faithful. Do you? That's not what I believe it is. And you know, they're saying, just get ready because that is the new norm in American Christianity. Well, you know what? That might be the new norm in their American Christianity, but I don't think that's God's norm.
What about you?
I believe God said, I just want you to be faithful. I want you to be true to me. Folks, listen, we live in a day that we don't even understand the world around us anymore. I mean, we don't understand what in the world. You watch the news and you think the whole world's gone crazy. You do. Like, I mean, what in the world has our nation come to? And folks, we are now seeing 70-some years of a nation that has been fed the lie of evolution and humanistic teaching and philosophies in its schools and its universities, and it's created a generation in America that knows not the Lord or the great things He's done for this nation. And they don't have a clue what goes on inside these walls. They think you're nuts. You go to church three. I mean, they can get it if you want to go practice your faith once a week or a couple times a month. That's okay. You know, if it works for you and it soothes your conscience a little bit, why don't you go in there and do that? They don't understand anything about somebody that's committed and dedicated and is serious about serving God. They don't understand it. They don't. But that's not an excuse for us not to be and do what God wants us to be and do in our day. And I want you to know that you say, preacher, can God send revival? There's not a question of whether or not God can do it. It's will America let Him do it? That's it. And folks, listen, hey, I'm all for doing right by the ballot box. I'm all for right about putting the right people in office. But if we're looking to Washington, D.C. and Raleigh to fix America, you're in trouble. It's got to start with God's people and us getting right and influencing the people around us. And that's why we're going to keep knocking doors and sharing the gospel and impacting our community and doing what God tells us to do, because that's what He's given us, and it's the only way that we're going to see our nation change and our communities change. And you know what? If God never sends national revival, you can have it. I can have it. Calvary can have it. It can impact this town, this city, and we can impact our world for Jesus Christ. Let's not let the naysayers dampen our faith in our great God. Faith sees the invisible, does the impossible. I just want to reassure you that Bible faith is rooted in God's Word and in the God of the Word. Somebody, and I mentioned earlier, faith links our nothingness to to His almightiness. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. I love those five words. The Lord is my helper. Why can I overcome? Why can I have victory? How can the Jerichos come down in my life? How can I be what God wants him to be? How can my family serve God? How? Because the Lord is my helper. How can I make it? Because the Lord is my helper. That's why. Christian, you can make it because the Lord is your helper. Just remember that. Well, if you don't get anything else, just remember the Lord is your helper. He's my helper tonight, and He's your helper. Let's remember that. He said, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let me ask you a question. What's your Jericho tonight? What is it you're battling and wrestling with? What is it in life spiritually or whatever that's besting you, so to speak, that's dampening your faith, discouraging your heart, keeping you from God's blessing and the joy of Him? Well, just remember, you have a captain over your faith. Let Him inspire you and instruct you. Have a compliant faith. When God instructs you, respond to Him and let Him do His work in your life and let Him do His work in mine. It doesn't always happen when I want it to happen. But you know what? God's faithful. God's faithful. It doesn't always happen the way I want it to happen. But God knows. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of discernment. He knows and sees and understands what I don't know and see and understand. I don't always understand what God's doing. And then remember that because of we have a captain over our faith and a compliance in our faith, that we have a conquest through faith. Listen, Christian, you can trust Him. Maybe what you need to remind yourself tonight and tomorrow and the next day and the day after that and the day after that, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I can get through this day. I can overcome this problem. I can go forward in this. My marriage can be saved. I can be the right kind of person. I can. Listen, why? Because the Lord is my helper. That's why. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad He's my helper tonight. What about you? There's times that I get on my knees before God and I say, God, when it comes to Calvary Baptist Church, God, I'm not sufficient, but You are. I can't, God, but You can. I can't save anybody. I can't change anybody's life. I can't put anybody's marriage back together again. I can't do that. But God can. God can. I can't fix the problems in my life, much less yours. But God can. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my... Is He your helper tonight? Maybe you need to come and ask help from the Lord. Maybe not. You need to throw up the flag of surrender and say, God, I'm going to quit trying. I'm going to start trusting. I'm going to let You have Your way. Maybe tonight you need to start glancing at your problem, start gazing at your God. Maybe your Jericho's looming large. Maybe you need to let God stand large in your life and to realize that you can do all things through Him tonight. Aren't you glad for the Joshuas of life that remind us that the Jerichos, the walls of the Jerichos, can come down? Isn't that a blessing? Hey, let's stand to our feet.